bring it into the thing.
I love it.
I pray you say.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're
Is that
do.
How we say it here?
I pray you say. But remember, you not paying attention. You got quiet the last conversation.
I'm sorry. I know.
And I'm nailing this. Like, I am seeing it, and I am so good.
So good. Does it need to come down a little, or is that just my height?
It's kind well, of even you, like, you're pretty good when you
I'm
speak.
Pretty good, yeah. I feel like I'm pretty loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're good. Actually, I've never had trouble hearing
oh,
you
good.
On here.
Good.
So.
Mm-hmm.
You are loud. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That's just why I want to be as loud.
Okay. All right, ready?
Welcome to Bless Singleness Podcast. What are our names?
Well, you're Charity.
I'm Charity.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Meredith.
And together we make some friends about town.
Do we go about town?
Nope.
Nope.
Together we make friends that like to sit and watch TV.
That sounds good.
Or shows. Yeah. We've gone to the
that's
theater.
True. Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
We do a lot.
Yeah.
We do a lot of stuff.
We do.
You know.
We like to have fun.
Exactly.
Know? It's a thing.
It's a thing.
I love but, having fun.
Yeah.
Do you love having fun?
It's my favorite.
It's my favorite thing.
Well, thank you for tuning back in with us or tuning in for the first time. We're happy to be here.
And we're happy to have you.
Amen. Yeah. So.
Welcome.
Mm-hmm.
This is our theme song. I don't know if she had to record it first.
Oh.
Okay. Hit it.
Right? This is our theme song.
Well, bless.
You're so talented. So I get, oh, that, I am going to start with prayer.
Thank
that
you, Jerry.
That is
going to
be me. God, thank you so much for, once again, this chance to relax and have fun and enjoy each other's company in your company, God. So we ask that you lead this conversation, lead our discussion, help us to feel free to talk about whatever's on our hearts and on our minds, and let it always be a reflection of your glory, that we are always seeking you in everything that we say and do. In your precious and holy Son's name, amen.
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 So, one of the things that we have talked about is how singleness can feel very much like a wilderness, you know, mm-hmm. as though you're out in
the wilderness.
The wilderness, you know.
It does feel like a wilderness.
Could be a forest-like or desert-like.
Whatever is wilderness to you.
Middle of the ocean.
That's what
I mean, you know.
Mighty middle ocean.
Wilderness. No one is with you, you know.
All alone.
But, Charity, I know that that's something that you in particular had a really difficult season. I mean, I'm going to say difficult, but I know that God used it in a powerful way in your life. So I didn't know if you just wanted to kind of share some of that with us.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to share it. And let's, Lord help me be, share it in a way that makes sense. My brain feels so jumbled today, guys. So I apologize in advance. But I've kind of shared this before, but singleness has been a struggle for me way more than I would like to admit. And again, I've chosen to not let my life be defined by that. And I've still living. Yeah, I've still lived a very full life, and I've been able to do many things that I love and be involved in the things that I'm passionate about. So I'm thankful for my life. But underneath all that I've had going on, there has still been this. So yeah, it's been like a wrestling match with God at many points along the journey. Years back, man, I can't even tell you how many years it's been at this point, but probably 7-8 years ago. I was going through a really difficult time with one of my family members in our relationship. This was somebody who had been my best friend my entire life, and they had just decided at one point that they just didn't want to be anymore. And the transition from them being that close since before I can remember to deciding that they really didn't want me to have me in their lives was an extremely painful one for me. And it led me into this pit of lies, and I knew that they were lies. There was no question that they were lies, but you know, I've heard it said, and I'm going to get the saying wrong, but we're going to try it. What is it? There's 13 inches between your head and your heart, but that can be, is that 13 inches?
You're looking at me funny. Yeah, but that gap is so massive to get your heart many times to agree with what your head knows. Mm-hmm. That's the disconnect there. I also, there's a lot of men in my life that are good friends that love me, and I've been told, thankfully it's nice to hear this, but I've been told that I'm beautiful and I'm wonderful. And why isn't anybody, I'm shocked that you're still single, which those things are so wonderful to hear. Like, don't get me wrong. I love hearing them. They've encouraged my heart many, many times, but I'm like, this is what people are saying about me, but it must not be true because nobody ever asks me out. Like, I never get asked out, And so the lie that sets in with that is, okay, if nobody asks me out, I must be unlovable to men. And then I was having this issue with one of the men that was in my life, in my family. And this was somebody that knew me so well. Like I said, we had been best friends since longer than either of us can remember. We were always two peas in a pod. There were honestly moments where I thought he hated me. It was that hard of a struggle in our relationship. Not only did he not like me, I thought he hated me. And if this man who has known me so well and for so many years didn't love me, then I must also be unlovable to God. Like, that was the trail of, I'm unlovable to men, I'm unlovable to my male family members, I must be unlovable to God. And I knew it was a lie. I knew it. But I could not pull myself up out of that pit. Mm-hmm. And I think it was episode one where in the sharing corner where I shared about that Christmas that I was home with my dad. Like, that all happened that same time. It was that male family member that said that thing that got me bawling my eyes out. And that was that time that God so beautifully gave me that picture with my father of how he feels my pain. He's in it with me. But I remember being in my room at my parents' house that Christmas, just crying out to God and saying, Lord, I am falling into a pit and I'm hanging on by a string. And if you don't reach down and pull me out, I'm never going to come out of it. I'm going to sink down and I'm going to be unredeemable at that point. I was that low. When I came home from Christmas, God gave me that beautiful example with my father, a beautiful picture of how much he loves me through what my father did that Christmas. And I came back and I was attending a conference that my friend Danielle had talked me into going to. At this conference, I had been raised in the Baptist church, and they were talking about, this conference, they were talking about speaking in tongues and prophecy. And that was something that was very unfamiliar to me at the time. But at the end of one of the sessions where they're talking about prophecy, they broke us up into smaller groups and they were going to have two pastors just keep their eyes closed. They weren't going to look at you or see you. They're just going to place their hands on your shoulders, pray over you, and then speak whatever it was the Holy Spirit was guiding them to speak. And I remember as it was my turn to get up there saying, Lord, if this is you, I need you to speak something to me that I know is you, that you've already spoken to me, because I need to know that you're in this, because this is all new to me. And I get up there, and it was a woman and a man. Both of them had their hands on either shoulder, and they're praying over me. And all of a sudden, the girl actually spoke several things over me that were things directly correlated to things God had spoken to my heart. And I was like, okay, Lord, I know this is you. And then all of a sudden, she just started going, man, God loves you. Oh, man, he just loves you. He just loves you. Like, she kept saying that over and over again. And I'm a processor. Like, I received it, but it wasn't until I was driving home in my car where that just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I just started sobbing. And I was like, Lord, thank you. I needed to know that you loved me, because I was starting to doubt that you did. Mm-hmm. And God just spent that next phase of my life over the next few months just pouring into me how much he loved me, how intimately he loved me. There's one morning I was having to drive out really, 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 I had to drive out really, really early in the morning to Atlanta for an acting job that I had. And as I was driving out there, I just saw the most gorgeous sunrise just come up above me. And I felt God whispering to me that this is what I'm about to do in your life. I'm about to make it as if the sun's coming up, and I'm going to make it beautiful and brilliant and glorious because of what I'm doing in your life. And so that, he spent the next period of my life just healing me from the pain of that severed relationship with my family member. And I do want to say that
in the past year and a half, God has fully restored that relationship. And that is something that I never thought could ever happen. And all glory and all praise goes to him, because I thought that was a relationship that was past the point of being able to be fixed. But God can do anything. So I just wanted to put that in there. He and I are fully reconciled, and praise God for that. But, you know, working through the hurt of what that did in my heart, because, you know, the people that are the closest to you have the greatest capacity of hurting you. And that's what the situation was. Then God had picked me up out of the church I was in and put me in the church I'm at now. And it is a church that does prophesy over people and pray over people in that same way. And there was one, I'm a part of the choir and the praise team there. And there was one night we were doing a worship service. The choir was singing. And so I was up, I'm tall. So I'm in the back row of the choir. Right. And it was one of those really quiet, worshipful, worship filled moments where people were kind of praying at the front and doing their own thing. And I just felt God's presence. And I'm one of those people that I don't necessarily worship outwardly. I kind of go internal. And so I just kind of like squatted down in the back row of the choir, where we were at, in a ball. Like, I hunched myself up in a ball, and I just started getting intimate with God in that moment. And all of a sudden I felt these big arms around me, and someone was praying over me. And I realized it was Pastor Will, who's the head worship choir pastor there, who is just one of the most precious people in the world to me. And he just had his arms around me, and he was praying over me. And then he started saying, "Charity, you have daddy issues." And I felt myself getting defensive, like, first off, because I was like, no, I don't. I love my dad. I have a great relationship with my dad. But the Holy Spirit stopped me. He said, "Yes, you do. You have daddy issues with me." With me. And I was so humbled in that moment. I was like, "Lord, I do have daddy issues with you," because I've never once doubted that he had the ability to bring a man into my life or to do these other things that I felt that he was leading me to do. There's never a second where I doubted that he had the power to do that. He could think it and it would be, but the fact that he chose not to is what started to break my heart. And I know that that is placing, you know, you never want to have your relationship with God be based on what he does or doesn't do for you. But this was just part of the journey that he had brought me through, and something that he had told me he had for me. And I'm seeing year after year after year go by. And I beg God, either, "Lord, take this desire away from me, or just fulfill it, because I cannot stay in this wilderness," like you said, any longer. I can't. But when he revealed that to me, it was just such a weight off my shoulders. And it allowed me to start praying through things with God in a more intimate way to help heal that. Because I'm like, "Lord, I don't want to have that between you and me. I want an open, an open relationship between the two of us." And there was one other thing I wanted to share. I was, I had a guy friend in my life who was a very good looking, handsome friend who is not a believer, but he had offered me, you know, I'm going to get super real with you guys. He had offered me, "If you want to do anything, I'm here for you." And I was like, "Well, I'm not going to do anything with you." But I was at a point where I was like, I just need to be kissed by somebody. Like, God, one of my greatest love languages is touch. And so to go so many years without having that, there's moments where it feels like it's going to eat me up inside. And, so I'd reached out to this guy, and we were talking about meeting up just to make out for a little bit. You know, is that a moral issue? No. Is it a wise decision? No. You know what I mean? And we were making plans, and I was going to go out to see him the next day. And God just convicted my heart. And he said, "Charity, you are my daughter. You are a daughter of the King. And I expect you to conduct yourself as such." And that's the day I called Liz, bawling my eyes out. And I was just like, and that was when she had that house full of kids that I mentioned, and she went and found a quiet room. I mean, I honestly can't remember what I said during that conversation. I was sobbing like a fool. It was like an ugly cry. But she just spent time like pouring God's wisdom and his truth into me and praying with me. And that night, I just cried before God. And I know we've mentioned this, but I love that we have a God that can handle our hurts, that can handle our outrages. And I was screaming at him here in the house for a little bit, but it was just, I was like, "Lord, I have asked you to take this away from me. I have asked you to fulfill it. I've just,
I don't understand why you would continue to leave me in this. How could this possibly be glorifying and honoring to you? I'm asking you for something that's good, something that would honor you, and yet you choose to leave me in this pain, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, my cat feels my pain too.
Hi, Jinxie. You know, and there was the day, I think it was a day or two after that happened, God led me to the passage of scripture where Lazarus died with Mary and Martha. And Martha is somebody I relate to so well, and I probably have mentioned that before. I'll probably mention it a million times going forward. But what really hit me as I was reading through that story is, you know, Jesus received word that Lazarus was sick, but yet he decided to wait two more days before he went. And by the time he gets there, I think it was Martha that ran up to him and saying, "Lord, where were you? You know, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Just like me, she was saying, "I know you're capable of doing this, and I don't understand why you would choose not to. It doesn't make any sense." And the other thing that stood out was that Jesus just, he felt her pain so intimately. He grieved with them. It wasn't that he took any glory in the pain that they were feeling. It wasn't like he did it to put them through pain just to put them through pain. But he held off so that he could do something that was so much greater and so much more glorious, mm-hmm. that we would talk about for centuries, that would encourage the hearts of believers for generations and generations to come. And that's what God was saying he was doing in me. Like, there is a purpose to all of this pain that he's put me in, that he's put me in. That sounds terrible. There's a purpose to the pain that he's allowed me to stay in, but he's not glorying in it. He's hurting alongside me. You know, he's walking with me in all of this. And it's for something that's exceedingly more than I can ever ask or imagine, mm-hmm. as scripture says. Sorry, I'm like shaking so violently. Like, when I'm talking about something so personal. But it's one of those things where it doesn't help necessarily with easing the pain.
Right.
It doesn't take the pain away. It's still there. Mm-hmm. But what's so glorious about it is that it gives purpose to the pain. And there is an element of peace and endurance that comes when you know that there's a purpose in what you're feeling. You're not going through this just to go through it, or because God's a mean God, or he doesn't like you, or he wants you to be in this pain. It's because there is a purpose for it, and there is a purpose that will glorify him and that will encourage other believers and whatever else it is that God wants to do. And so that, I was going to say in a nutshell, but that was not in a nutshell. I've been talking for a long time, but that's just kind of the gist of what God's been doing in my life over the past 10 years, you know, and those are some highlights of it. But finding God in the wilderness, I mean, this journey of singleness for me has been a wilderness. Mm-hmm. And I have wrestled with God much as Jacob wrestled with God, you know, where I'm like, I'm not whole. I'm not letting go until you give me a blessing, Lord. But yet you walk away from that forever changed. He limped for the rest of his life, mm-hmm. you know, but it's those moments of intimate wrestling with God that bring you into a relationship with him that you never could have known if you had not gone through the struggle. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's my story.
By a group that I won't mention because of name and likeness purposes.
Oh.
But it's a wonderful song. And in the lyrics, they talk about, "I trust your heart and your intentions." And that sometimes, even singing it, just if I'm in the car, sometimes it's the hardest lyric for me to say, because sometimes I'm not 100% sure I do mm-hmm. trust his heart and his intentions.
Yeah.
At least his intentions. Yeah. I trust his heart. I know that he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle with the trust of his intentions for me.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting to a better place. I feel this year has definitely been about, I've talked about it, surrendering and coming and just laying my expectations down to him and wanting what he wants for me. But in years past, it's been, God, this is what I want for me. Why don't you want this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why isn't this your intention? You've done this. And it's so hard to even admit that you don't trust God sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's like we've talked about charity. There was this story about this young couple that had struggled to have a child. And the wife made this comment, and I felt that it was so applicable to my struggle with still not being married and mm-hmm. and not having kids at this point. But she said that it got to the point to where it just felt cruel.
Yeah, that's where I've been.
It just feels cruel. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. God, why? I know you're not a cruel God, so, yeah. But this just feels like, you know, somehow I'm not favored. Somehow I don't understand this. This is not a bad thing that I'm wanting.
Right, yeah.
And, like,
so why wouldn't you give it to me?
Mm-hmm. And if it's such a prominent desire, like you said, I don't understand why you've given me the desire without fulfilling it.
Yeah. Something else that he's really been laying on my heart over the past, like, 6 months, too, is the truth that he is a good God. You know, no matter how we feel... And feelings are strong things, don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying them. But no matter how we feel about a situation, the truth is that God is good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Therefore, even if I'm struggling, because he hasn't fulfilled this yet, the fact that I'm single today is good because that's what he has called me to be today.
Yeah.
And there are times where I am literally having to say that out loud in my car to myself, saying, God, you are good. God, you are good. God, you are good. Because I need to get my heart to catch up, like I said, with what my brain knows. But he is good. Mm-hmm. And after we were working out my daddy issues that I'd developed with my Lord and Savior, that's something that he keeps telling me, is that he's good. He's good, and therefore, where I'm at today is good because it's in his plan.
Yeah,
that today, so I am where he has me to be.
Yeah. I have a friend who we were sharing about this sort of thing, which she did not get married until she was 40, and she wanted children. I mean, that was her dream. Well, after she got married, they tried and realized that for health purposes, she... was never going to have children.
Mm.
But she sat there and shared this with me and said, and so here I sit, Meredith, as a barren woman, and yet I can still say that God's best is God's best.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
And I think that that's part of the journey, is that it's okay to be brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And to not have something fulfilled. But it's the knowledge of, but God, you're good, and you're good to me.
Yeah.
And that what you have for me is your best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think so often we look at our lives and go, well, this is not the best life that I could be living. This is, and granted, a lot of times it's not, because it's our choice.
Sure. Yeah.
To live in our misery, fear and what ifs, and in the past, and in what hasn't yet happened, and the waiting, you know, but... we're called to live a really good life now.
Yeah.
And God has been good to us. It's just like what you said. And that's and that's one of those truths that, like you said, we have to believe regardless of how it feels.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes, and I'm learning this, speaking these out loud.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And eventually your heart does come around to it, but sometimes that is what it takes. Just saying it over and over and over again until your heart starts to catch up. Because it's truth, and you're speaking truth into your situation. You're speaking truth into your heart. Doesn't mean it's easy. But.
Well, and that is something to challenge ourselves with, is to speak it verbally. Because you know who else is hearing that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The enemy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you speak the truth of God.
Mm-hmm.
You speak it out loud.
Yes.
You say it to yourself. You say it to... you know, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And you boldly proclaim that, no, you're not going to believe the lies.
Yeah.
And you're not going to believe your own heart. Mm-hmm. Because scripture says that above all, the heart is deceitful. And it lies to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to confront it with the truth of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
with
the truth of scripture and with the truths that we know to be true. A lot of truth.
It's true. It's true. It's true.
Truth of the truth of the truth.
I mean, when it's true, it's true.
So true.
So true.
So true. This is true.
This is true. You know? I mean.
But that is true.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that to be funny.
Yeah.
That's right
and
on.
I think for me, it's so easy for me to put God in the, he's amazing. He's wonderful. He's the creator. He's spectacular.
Yes.
And I forget that sometimes good is good. Like, he's good to me. He's good. It's not just he's great in this world and this realm that is beyond me, but specifically to me, he is good, and he wants the best for me. And this is something else that God has been kind of guiding me through is, you know, intimacy in the wilderness, you know, and that intimacy being me and him, not just how good God is to everyone. That's, and I know that sounds selfish and awful, but
no, but that's what you need to do.
Yeah. It's about my relationship with him and bringing it down to that level of God, this is me and you. This is, you are the creator of the world and you've done wonderful things, but you also help me get out of bed in the morning. And that is no easy feat. I'm not about the morning.
You are not.
You know, and it's just kind of important to remember how individually God cares for us.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know why that's not been something that I've either thought about or experienced, not experienced, because, you know, God's always loved me on a personal level, but I guess I've never really focused on it because I've just been so in awe of him that I've forgotten that he is a God of relationships, and specifically between the two of us.
Absolutely. You
know? And he's a jealous God, and he's going to want those areas that we haven't given to him. For a long time, I was calling it, as I was going through all that, I was saying, God's cleaning house in my heart. Like, it felt like he was up getting spring cleaning, getting those nooks and crannies, getting all the cobwebs out of those top corners. And he's like, no, you're going to let my light shine into all of this. Mm-hmm. And that process is painful, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, that is not a fun process. But I promise that on the other side of that, your house is clean, the lights are on, and there is a warmth, there is a peace, and there's an intimacy with God that can't be there unless you allow him into those areas.
Yeah. I mean, I've just walked that the last couple of weeks, and the girls know the story. I'm not going to share that all. but it is. I mean, this Easter, I don't know when this actually is going to be aired, but I mean, this week was just, we just celebrate Easter, and it was just a new experience for me because this year I've kind of worked on grace and letting things go and letting all the dark places get light, you know, and that's been an incredibly freeing and wonderful and just amazing experience. Yeah.
Well, and in the same tone of what you said of that God is a jealous God, he wants all of it. I mean, he wants all of it. He already knows about it.
Yeah, exactly.
He already knows. I mean, and that's why, like we've talked about, he is a God who can take our anger and our frustration and our hurt and our pain.
And he probably, I mean, I don't ever love saying this because I sound like I'm speaking for God, but he probably wants it.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
He would rather us go to him than not.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, though, I mean, there is something in that wrestle with God that is life altering.
Yes.
That we are not going to get if we sit placidly and just, you know, never lay it before the Lord.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think I've interrupted you like 4 times now. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I don't remember. What you said was so good. It was really, really good. And you were sharing earlier, and it reminded me, there was also one moment where it was shortly after this guy I had been dating had broken up with me. So, you know, that's extra hard when you're already going through stuff with singleness. But I was driving to work one day, and I was almost to work, and I had this song by Francesca Battistelli going on in my car. Did I say that right?
You did, but for name and likeness purposes. I don't think saying her name is an issue.
I had this song by this Christian artist on in my car. She was a female artist. And I just heard God saying, do you trust me with your heart? And I said, God, I honestly don't know if I do.
Yeah.
But please get me to a point where I do.
Yes. Because it is a beautiful place when you get there.
It is. And he did get me there, and it was wonderful, but it was very real in that moment. I was like, I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
Because this hurts right now. Yeah. That's the story of charity and the singleness.
Thank you for sharing with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I think it's super brave to just kind of lay it all out there. I haven't.
So, we all do it when the timing's right. That's the thing. And
or not.
It's what you feel led to do.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, so I think it was brave, and thank you very much for being willing to do that.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm an open book, so whatever we want to talk about, I think, we can talk about.
Okay.
I think.
What are your favorite things about Meredith and I? No, oh. Just kidding. We don't want to go there.
It would take too long to list them all.
I basically already know everything. I know.
That's so true. So true.
That's cool. So yeah. Did we pick someone to share? Okay. Oh.
Oh.
And now we'll segue into our sharing corner. So this one isn't really super in-depth, and it's not even going to be that long. There's just a couple of tweets that some person that I've been following posted, and I think he's a pastor. I'm not really quite sure. Pretty sure. Yes, he's a pastor. We'll say
he's
that.
A random person. Random person. Male, female, we don't know.
Yeah, even though we've been using the pronoun he, but whatever. Yeah,
it's fine.
And so just this week in particular, and you know, he posted a couple of things that I just really loved about being single in general. And the first one being that he was saying, hey, singles, the goal is not to get married. The goal is to get closer to Jesus. And I felt that was really in line with actually what Philip shared about how women just run for the Lord. Yeah. You know, guys just run for the Lord. And however that path takes you, if there is a mate in your future, that'll happen. But your goal should always be running and getting closer to Jesus. The other one that he posted was, don't expect marriage to bring you the satisfaction you lack in life while you're single. Only Jesus can do that.
Yeah.
And I think as humans, I don't think that's just a single issue. And I think we've talked about it plenty of times that we look for the contentment or the satisfaction in, oh, well, if this happens, then I'll be happy. If this coming up, you know, I think we use the situation, if you're single, oh, if we get married, it'll be better. And when you're married, you say, oh, when we have kids, this will happen. Or when we get this job. And it's all about legitimately living in and focusing on Christ and letting that be your satisfaction, your contentment, your joy, and living in that and watching all other pieces fall into place as that is your main focus and your goal. Mm-hmm. And that's that.
That was great, Jerry.
Thanks. It was really not my idea. It was this pastor's.
This person's. random person.
That I saw on the social medias. Sometimes they can be uplifting and encouraging.
Absolutely. So,
I think we probably should use it more for that than the mainness. But
absolutely.
Definitely. Okay. Well, amen and God bless. Hey guys, we'd love for you to join in on the conversation with any discussion points or questions you might have. So follow us on Instagram, BS_podcast, or like us on Facebook, Bless Singleness Podcast. See you later.
I don't know, I feel like I have to say something.
You don't have to say something.
But it makes me nervous. Can you cut that last part out?
No, I love it so much. It's staying in forever.